At first mentioned, the term big band may conjure up memories of the big swing jazz bands of the 1940s. Big bands still exist, but they're not stuck in the 1940s, not by a long shot. We have a major example to talk about and visit with in this hour, the Timberline Express Big Band. It brings together some of the most accomplished musicians in the Rogue Valley together under one roof. And it's got to be a pretty big roof. So that's why we only have, in our relatively small studio, three members of the band with us. Martin Behnke is composer and conductor sitting across the table from me. Martin, good to see you.
Good to see you. Good to be here.
Randy Shearer is with us as well. He's a trumpet player, one of several in the band. Randy, good to have you.
Hey, great to be here.
And Jeffrey Lynn Carrington is back on the Jefferson Exchange after an absence of a couple of years. She's a versatile singer. We talked to her about some other genres before, and here she is back talking about her stint with the Timberline Express Big Band. Good to have you back.
Hi.
So, Martin, start us off. Talk about the birth of the project, the Timberline Express Big Band, and its connection to TMC, the Timberline Music Company.
Yeah, well, I won't go clear back to the actual birth, which was when I was in seventh grade and started playing this kind of music in my father's dance band.
May get to that question, though, so hold that reserve.
So more to your question, Randy and I had known each other since I first got here, and he first got here mid-aughts. 2007
or so is when we met.
And we did some playing together and kind of banged around the area, Southern Oregon, a place that I had come to because I was born and raised in Yreka. And after having spent time in lots of other places in the country, and Randy the same way, we got together here and looked at each other one day and said, what if we went for a big band? Do we have the talent pool and the numbers and the interest to put together a big band? Because that's, as a composer, that's been one of my main areas of interest, even though I composed in lots of genres. The big band has always been a big one for me, and we said, well, we let's give it a shot, and so we did, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Well, just so people aren't sitting here waiting and wondering what you sound like, let's give a little clip here. We'll play a little bit of North Coast Blues up first for the Timberline Express Big Band. Studio listening to their own music because I can see the heads moving and body movements going on here. So, I mean, again, as I mentioned in the intro, big band music does not connote, at least in this case, swing music.
Of course, that's the basis of it. And as Wynton Marsalis has said, all of this music, all of this jazz music really comes out of dance music, which goes back to the 1930s and 1940s. So as with this tune that we're listening to right now, it's a sort of an up-tempo, medium-up swing tune that is the swing genre. But the composers in this style have taken things as I am interested in taking them into unique different directions, but still maintaining the basic essence of what draws us to the music, which is the rhythmic and jazzy elements.
Let's talk about the pieces of the band then. Randy, you're the lead trumpet player. Of how many?
Of four trumpets in the section. Marty had kind of, when we talked about this in the beginning, he kind of made me the personnel manager for the band, so I'm also in charge of trying to get other players to play with us, which is kind of difficult around here at times. So we have players coming from Klamath Falls and from Roseburg and from Eugene that are also part of the band. And the thing, like he said when we first started knocking this around, he said, well, I said, well, I'm going to be kind of relentless as far as getting players. And he said, and so his challenge to me was, well, you know, you just go ahead and be relentless. And so I did. And so out of that, you know, the band has morphed over the last year or so with players now coming from outside. And it just so happened that for Jeffrey as personnel guy, I met Jeffrey at a Schubert and Bach Magnificat thing for one of the orchestras here last year, and I absolutely fell in love with her voice and her demeanor as a person, musician, And I went right up to you in after that rehearsal, and I said, "Man, do you sing other styles of music?" And she said, "Yes, that she did." And I said, "Well, would you be interested in doing this?" Because we had tried another vocalist, and it just didn't work out. It's not going to work out for everybody. And when you came to the first rehearsal, and I believe it was Dance Till Tomorrow, and she basically. You might have a different opinion, but she basically sight-read his tune, which was a little bit harder than a lot of the tunes that the band plays. And so, to me, my relationship and my love affair for just getting people together, I mean, Jeffrey just was part of that dynamic that I was kind of looking for. In personnel,
which you know, you hit it on the head here with my knowledge of Jeffrey Lynn Carrington's performances over the years and having interviewed her before. Is there a genre of music you do not sing?
Huh.
Because it seems like you got most of the rest.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think I love the whole gamut, and so I'm blessed to get to be a part of many different ensembles in the Valley that I get to participate in so many different styles.
Had you done anything like big band music?
Oh,
before,
no, though? No. It's very exciting.
What are some of the differences between this? I mean, this is not a chance where the voice is really as front and center as it is in some of the other genres you've worked in.
Right, yeah. A lot of the other things I do, I'm working with other vocalists, whether that's in a choir or a smaller ensemble. But in this case, I'm the only vocalist with 17 instrumentalists, which is definitely a first for me. And it's really fun and exhilarating. And
I hope not too tiring on the voice. You have a good amplifier for your microphone.
Right? I've got a mic, yeah. Okay. This is one of the groups where I need a mic.
Absolutely. All right, we'll come back and talk more with the folks in the Timberline Express Big Band. That was Jeffrey Lynn Carrington, the singer. Randy Shearer is the trumpet player. Martin Benke, the composer, conductor. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with members of the TXBB, as I call them, and you in a minute 20. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. It feels like the weekend already because we're moving into musical pursuits here in this hour of the Jefferson Exchange, visiting with members of the Timberline Express Big Band, which brings together some of the best musicians in the Rogue Valley. And as we've learned already from the lead trumpet player, somewhat beyond, because people sometimes travel to take part in Timberline Express. Martin Benke is the composer-conductor, Randy Shearer, the lead trumpet player, Jeffrey Lynn Carrington, the lone vocalist for the group surrounded by instruments. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Questions, comments for our guests at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. And rather than just talk about the music, why don't we hear some again? You had mentioned, Randy, about Dance Till Tomorrow, which features the vocals of Jeffrey Carrington. So let's hear that now. Jeffrey Lynn Carrington, I can hear the classical influence in there.
Yeah,
it comes through loud and clear. But what was it? What were the first rehearsals like when you were working with this band?
I was very nervous. They don't know that yet.
She didn't look nervous.
Right, I come in with the cool confidence, and inside I'm like, oh my gosh, what's this going to be like? I've never done something like this before. I didn't really have the music ahead of time, so I was just kind of cold coming in to read. Sight read with 17 other people who already kind of knew the music, so I felt like behind a little bit, but it was really fun. I enjoyed the sound a lot, and I felt really welcomed, and so Yeah, I just jumped right in.
So it sounds, though, from the way this is structured, though, Martin Behnke, that Jeffrey's almost an instrument in the band, too. She's playing some of the same parts as the instrument.
That's it, exactly. You know, in the history of big band music, you go back with Ella Fitzgerald and Frank Sinatra and those guys who had associations with big bands and sang with big bands. My concept of using a vocalist, and particularly somebody as strong as Jeffrey, is to really have a vocal section where she is really functioning as a section of the band, which really puts in some ways more pressure on her than just singing jazz tunes with the accompaniment, I mean, all due respect, with the accompaniment of a big band. So as Randy said, we were both just really impressed, I was impressed with the strength of Jeffrey's voice because that's a big band that we have, and it's capable of a very large sound, but also the strength of her musicianship to be able to do music, which, as Randy also said, is probably a little, my wife says that I'm incapable of writing easy things.
And she... Randy agrees, I think.
Yes, I think so.
And it may be true. I mean, it seems to be when I sit down to write, that's what comes out. And so the horns can do it. Less often are our vocalists asked to do that. And so to find someone who can do it as well as Jeffrey was really a find.
You know, we've been able to play these cuts because there are two discs out already. That comes off the recent one called Hot Tracks that features Jeffrey Lynn Carrington's vocals on, is it two of the tracks? Mm-hmm. Looks like, okay. And then the previous disc called Departures from the Timberline Express Big Band. And so that's where we're taking this material from. But of the material you perform, how much is created by you, Martin, and how much is from elsewhere?
Yeah. So at the current moment, I mean, my interest in this has a lot to do with composition, the compositional part, although I've been a player all my life and I enjoy running. I've been an educator and run big bands, clear back to, like I said, when I was in the seventh grade. But for the moment, I think all the music on Departures is mine, and I think there's just one. We have a new young writer who I have known for quite some time from Portland, Kenny Riggin, who is just a phenomenal musician, piano player, oboe player of all things, and writer who is doing some writing also. He just finished a master's degree at UCLA in film scoring, so he's an exceptional kid. So that's what we're doing at this point. Now, for the future, just down the road, we're very interested, Randy and I both have talked about this a lot, in visiting the really high point people of the history of big band jazz, back to Duke Ellington, even Count Basie, Thad Jones. There are a number of bands that we'd even like to feature and start getting into our book. We're just starting into that realm. I would envision, you know, a year or two or three from now, our concerts would be more. I want to always do some of my music, but also introducing and reintroducing some of this of our favorite big band music from the past.
You mentioned concerts. I do want to mention, use that as an opportunity to mention, you do have one coming up on this Sunday, it looks like, November 24th at 7:30 at the First Presbyterian Church on Holly Street in Medford.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very excited about that.
Are you? Is that your first public gig with the group?
We had one other that I've participated in. I guess that was almost a year ago.
That was last April.
Okay, so last that wasn't April. A year ago. Time is...
It kind of does meld together after a while. Yeah.
However, this is the first big concert, full concert that I've done with the group, and so I'm really excited.
I want to give another musical sample to the audience and let them get a feel for what you do. It's not all, you know, dance tempo kinds of tunes, and this one also features trumpet, which I assume is going to be at least partly Randy Shearer. So let's hear a bit of Sarah's tune from the Timberline Express Big Band.
Thank you.
Okay, I lied. You can dance to that one anyway.
Yeah.
A little faster than I remember when I first listened to it. But talk about the instrumentation there, if you would, Randy Shearer, because it's you mentioned one of four trumpets, but we haven't talked about the rounding out of the rest of the band and the other pieces you have there.
Well, as every other conventional band out there, most bands comprise five saxes, four trombones, three at the least, and then four trumpets. There's been a lot of different morphs of that configuration, too. I mean, Maynard Ferguson, for many years, had strictly a 7-5 band. What I mean, 7-5, 7 brass, 5 woodwinds, 3 rhythm section. You know, in this band, we have 4 in the rhythm section. We've added a guitar and kept the regular configuration happening. But in some of the more modern bands, especially cost, I'm sure, is part of the factor. And when Maynard came about with this Bop Nouveau band, basically he really cut down the band to like 3 saxes, I think 1 trombone or 2, and 3 trumpets and a rhythm section. And obviously, I look at it, you probably can't do as many harmonic things with that as with a conventional band. But the sound quality is still great, you know. This particular tune that we've heard it kind of is reminiscent to most of the small group things that I've played, quintet-type stuff. It's got a head of a tune, mm-hmm. or the melody line of the tune, and then it breaks into some sort of solo section, and then we go back to the head of the tune and then end the tune. You know, so that only kind of accentuates the versatility of writing this type of stuff, because you don't have to just have this wall of sound. You can have various different sounds take place in different parts of the tune and still maintain the characteristic of a big band.
So, Martin, as you compose this kind of music, does it come out of your head onto paper more or less as you want it to sound? I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is collaboration. I mean, do you get to bring it to the group and say, here's the basic idea, and then do they bring ideas back to you and say, well, how about if we do this instead?
No. It's an autocratic democracy.
I was about to say, you're the captain of the vessel, yes.
It's funny. I mean, I don't know how other folks work, but my composition changed, and I've composed music, you know, relatively seriously all my life, and back when I first started doing it, it was a sharpened number 2 pencil on a piece of music paper that I would sketch ideas down, and I still will carry around the proverbial napkin ideas that I think here and there, and I put them down, but ultimately at this point what I do is put them into a computer. And the process that that you mentioned, that is of possibly running it by the band, although I still think about it periodically, I generally just put it in, notate it into the computer, and the state of the computer feedback on a program called Finale using the Gariton Music Playback System.
So it essentially plays it back to you.
It plays it back to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it doesn't sound like a band. It's not like those are ever going to replace a live performance of a live group. But as a composer, it allows me to sit and listen and play with it and tweak with it and go through some of the experimentation that, when I think about Mozart, for example, he didn't have that opportunity. He was writing it down, and what he wrote down is what got played. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know what the tweaking process was, but he didn't have, obviously, the computer.
We're talking to the folks from the Timberline Express Big Band, a band that brings together some of the most talented jazz musicians from the Rogue Valley and slightly beyond. Martin Behnke is composer-conductor, Randy Shearer, lead trumpet player, and Jeffrey Lynn Carrington, the vocalist for the band. Questions, comments for our guests? We would welcome those from you. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Randy, before I forget, when you mentioned Maynard Ferguson, it kind of reminded me of some of the incredibly high notes that the good trumpet players can hit. And there were some that I got to peruse yesterday in pulling your clips off of YouTube and turning them into MP3s for air here. Does it hurt to get those high trumpet notes?
I think, as a trumpet player, I played in the Air Force Band for about 11 years. And that was not my capacity in the band. I was always a solo player. I was a featured soloist in Alaska for 8 years while I was stationed there. And then when I moved here, I wound up going in college years. I did spend a couple of summers playing on ships. But after like 30-some years, I found myself in a place when I came here that the work wasn't really plentiful and I was looking to be able to play. So I went back to ships. And over those 9 contracts that I played, the gig just morphed, and they demanded more of you. And so as a single trumpet player on a ship band of 7 people doing production shows, and most of that stuff you play along with a track with an orchestra that's filling out the rest of the thing, and then you're stuck kind of either doing the lead work. And a lot of that has changed over the years. And so the demand to having a strong lead trumpet player and a lead trumpet sound, I was forced to change equipment a little bit, mouthpieces, horns. Just to get more out of my performance. And so the things that I don't necessarily practice a lot of high note stuff, but I do practice endurance, and I do practice a little bit more concentrated on breath. And so some of the master classes that I even visit on YouTube, some of those guys will say it's not a requirement to like fill the horn with air. It's about the speed of the air going through the horn that is going to change the aperture in your chops or in your mm-hmm. in your mouthpiece placement. So that's going to, it's all about compression. Mm-hmm. And so the way I approach it, I mean, I want to warm up. I want to be able to play a couple of notes, but it's not what I really concentrate on. And I've told Marty several times, if I could find a guy that could play double Cs, like the second octave above the staff C, and do that all day long, I would gladly hire him, because some of the stuff that I do play is high and it's written in a section. But I try to pride myself on trying to, do the best I can in that environment. But it does require some work.
All right, no doubt. And so, coming off the cruise ships, did you take a while to get your sea legs, your land legs back?
No. And I've been kind of fortunate. I've never been seasick. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of guys. We would travel, on Air Force planes. Sometimes not. That definitely, they're not passenger planes. Okay,
right.
A lot of cargo planes, refueling planes. I even flied in a. We even flew from Anchorage out to Adak Island on a P-3, on a Navy P-3, which is basically it's a sub chaser, and not real conventional travel. Okay, and I've seen a lot. I've seen some guys, not everybody, but I mean, I've seen some people that. Get airsick, mm-hmm. and they don't like that too much. But I've never been, my dad used to take me deep sea fishing when mm-hmm. I lived back east.
To lots of motion as
and
a kid.
And so,
yeah.
I mean, I've just never been a person mm-hmm. to get seasick. And plus, the ships today.
They're huge and stable.
They're huge. I mean, the largest ship that I was on was NCL, Norwegian Caribbean's Epic. Mm-hmm. And over Christmas and New Year's one year, I was there for like 10 weeks, and I think we had 5,600 people on board.
56, wow.
The crew, the crew was about 1,180 people, and then there were probably about 4,500 guests.
It's like having the population of talent on a ship.
Yeah,
it's
bigger than the town I
was. Yeah, and it was like 126,000-ton vessel. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you do feel a little bit of movement. You're in the ocean, mm-hmm. but it's not, I think that the cruise lines, the captains, all those guys in the merchant services are very, very accustomed to that kind of travel. And with radar and with all of this stuff, there's plenty of opportunity to avoid mishaps at sea. Mm-hmm. And so you don't really, I mean, they try to do their best to not make that travel any worse than it has to be.
Okay, let me ask Randy Babbitt to queue up and play To the Break, Conversations with Giovanni. But we have about 2 minutes, and I do want to ask Jeffrey Lynn Carrington, as long as we're talking about techniques, about differences in preparation for a big band. I mean, there are things that singers do with their voices, where they keep air and how they bring it out past the instrument, placement in the mouth, all that stuff. I mean, how different is it in this genre versus how you prepped for singing classical pieces?
Yeah, I found it interesting to try to be more like an instrumentalist. It's different the way I need to tank up on air in a certain way, because the music isn't necessarily written. It's written more in the style for instruments than for a singer, and so the lines might be really long, and I need to have a lot of air to get through there, or I have to sneak a breath in somewhere that. So it's interesting to play with it and experiment to find the right way to do it. And I actually get to wail on a high C with the trumpets at the end of that song, Dance Till Tomorrow. And I found it funny that one of the days that we did that, I think it was Marty said, I thought I can't hear the trumpets over Jeffrey. So I was
congratulations.
Competing with four trumpets, and I was winning, apparently. So
yeah. All right. More from the Timberland Express Big Band. We're going to hear Conversations with Giovanni on the way to the break. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute and a half. Final segment of today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We are talking to the folks from the Timberline Express Big Band, which brings together some of the most accomplished musicians off on the jazz end of the spectrum from the Rogue Valley and beyond together under one roof. And it's got to be a pretty big roof because it's a pretty big band. We have with us the composer-conductor Martin Behnke, Randy Shearer, who is the lead trumpet player, and Jeffrey Lynn Carrington, who as of not very long ago became the vocalist of the group. So there's a singer in there too. You can join our conversation on the Exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I want to remind you, too, that they do have a concert coming up. That's this Sunday, November 24th at 7:30 at the First Presbyterian Church, 85 South Holly Street, Medford. Any idea how the ticket sales are going for that, Marty?
Don't have the up to date, but we're not sold out.
Mm-hmm.
So
we want to get as many people there as we can because it's going to be an amazing show.
And there are some great deals also online through Brown Paper Tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And, $20 in advance for a concert like this is a pretty great deal. And we're also offering a $30 advance ticket with a CD along with that, and then $25 at the door. So there's a lot of other groups around that play it, like the Criterion and other places that charge more. And I think that our band is totally worthy of what we're trying to do. And we are trying to introduce our band as a unique and part of this environment. I don't think that people are going to hear anything like what we're doing on a normal basis here.
Well, I was trying to find a way to talk about you just in terms of introductions and how to describe you on the web, for example. It's like Billy Joel said in his song, you know, there's a new band in town, but you can't get the sound from a story in a magazine. So, you know, with just the words, it was a little hard. So it's not like swing jazz. It's not like the Glenn Miller band. It's probably a little closer to Chicago, I would think, in style, up to a point, but then you get into other realms as well.
Well, I kind of characterize this as alternative modern big band.
I noticed that. I noticed the alternative.
And
yeah.
And what that is, it uses all of the elements of big band jazz, all of the historical elements of the big band jazz, but it also brings in there's some rock influences. There's some blues influences. There's classical influences that even some of the modern jazz writers, composers today have used classical things in their background to write their stuff. And I want to say probably Maria Schneider, Bob Kernow, Pat Metheny, all of these guys have kind of melted some of these concepts together to write a modern form of jazz today that, you know, as far as like musical history, everything morphs into something newer and gets invented into something that's a little bit different but still maintains the main characteristic.
Well, in fact, I wanted to ask about Conversations with Giovanni. I had forgotten as we went into the break with that piece that it actually is based on a very old piece of music.
Mm. Yeah, the Giovanni in the title, Conversations with Giovanni, is Giovanni Palestrina, who some of you may recognize as a 15th, 16th century composer. And actually, the piece that it's based on is a motet. It's a church motet. And I was just now, in fact, telling Jeffrey that we'd like to do that on our next performance. When I heard that little snippet of it, I haven't listened. It's just such a beautiful, stunningly beautiful piece. And I put it into kind of a context of a fairly large work, which I often do. It's not your usual 3 or 4 minute AM radio kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, my pieces are bigger than that. And this one is a two-part thing that uses Palestrina's material. In fact, when I've performed it in the past, I have sometimes used a recording and kind of fantasize about having actually a live choir to do the Palestrina motet in its original form before we go into this 8 or 9 minutes of various levels of jazz, mm-hmm. big band stuff, which to me is just an extension of, you know, I wish I knew Palestrina. I'd like to talk with him. I wish I knew Bach. We're doing, she said, the Ave Maria, you know, these. Mm. I sit out on my deck at night and have conversations with these people, mm-hmm. almost literally, uh-huh. about what I'm doing.
But it's only when they answer back, it's a problem.
maybe I shouldn't have said that. But, but you know, to me, it all, as Randy said, it all melds. And music is music, and good music is music, is good music.
So let's talk about influences from way back, because I wanted to play a bit of the Epictetus Samba, mm-hmm. and I just wanted you to get a little setup for it and let people know where it comes from, what you did with this.
Sure. Musically, that's an original piece, but it comes from, the inspiration comes from the first century, I think he was, Epictetus, who was actually a slave turned philosopher. He was so thoughtful and philosophical that I guess that moved him from slavery into philosophy, which is probably a good move. But the piece is a very simple one. Do you remember the lyrics? Maybe I'll let Jeffrey. Do you remember the lyrics to it?
It's not the love inside. It's the other one.
Well, you know, why don't we? I clipped the instrumentals at the beginning to get straight to the vocals.
Sure,
so here's the Epictetus Samba.
Got it. Let's do it that way.
So as a singer, what kind of I noticed the chord changing behind you as you're singing a note. And I wonder, you know, you're obviously trained in singing with other people who are doing different things while you're singing.
Definitely.
So, I mean, does it present much of a challenge to you at this point in your career?
No, I'm pretty used to that. And I enjoy that. I enjoy when other things are doing other and I get to hold my part and have my unique thing going on.
One of the things I noticed coming back to the discussion of the other piece, Conversations with Giovanni, is I see taiko drums in that piece. I see on the first album, Departures, flute showing up from time to time. There is piano here, but not all the time. You do play piano, Martin. That's your primary instrument, is that right?
I do, and actually when we started, I was kind of thinking of following the Duke Ellington model where he ran the band from the piano. And I did a little bit of that, but frankly, I just don't like to. I my brain is simple enough that I can do one or the other, but to do both at the same time, I end up not doing either one of them well. So at this, I do a little bit of playing usually in each show, but But generally, I direct the band, and I also find that I can get more subtlety out of the band if I'm in front acting as a conductor, although a lot of times I'm just standing there with my hands in my pocket because you don't conduct a jazz band the way you conduct an orchestra. So.
Well, that, but you know, that gives you a little downtime, right?
Yeah.
Check your emails.
Sometimes I'll move off stage, so the band doesn't see me do that, but yeah.
Right. We'll talk about that dynamic then. I mean, it doesn't require – jazz musicians are used to kind of keeping an eye on each other, Randy, right?
To some extent. I mean, a lot of the years when I was in – especially when I was in the Air Force Band, when we did big band stuff – the lead alto player, or it might have been a trombone player. Most of the time, it was the lead alto player that was the NCOIC, the non-commissioned officer in charge of that group, and he was kind of the conductor. But he would always lead stuff from the section, kind of like what Marty was saying about leading the band from the piano. But you know, you have to be conscious of time. You have to be conscious of just playing musically. In a place where, you know, we're all given a task to do, and we're held to a responsibility level that, hey, you know, we're going to be able to play as a unit, and I think in this band it's pretty much that way. I mean, we have a conductor. Marty is really good at directing certain nuances in the band when we're playing volume, accents, you know.
Tempo changes,
things like that. There are some meter changes, some tempo changes that we have to be aware of that can only be conducted, okay? But as far as a player in a band, you look at all the modern bands today. You look at Bob Minzer's band in New York. You look at Thad Jones' band. A lot of those guys, a lot of those conductors, or a lot of those band leaders count off the tune, and then the band just plays. Mm-hmm. And you know, stylistically, I think that's kind of the modern approach of big band. And you know, we've been at several music festivals, high school festivals. I don't particularly like seeing this, okay, but there's a lot of band teachers today that'll just kind of stand in front of the band with their hand in their pocket, and I don't really care to see that. If you're going to be there, do something, or if you're not going to do something, just stand aside and let them perform. Because that is what we're seeing today. Even when Wynton Marsalis does the Lincoln Center jazz stuff, he doesn't conduct everything, and he also allows people in his band to contribute as composers and arrangers to that extent. So I don't know that per se conducting is really the thing that I look for. Mm-hmm. You know, as a lead trumpet player. As a lead alto player, as a lead trombone player, we're all we are responsible for shaping our own section. And my comment a lot of times in the bands when we're in rehearsal, I will point out to Chris, our lead alto player, and say, "Look, guys, if you can't hear the lead alto, you're playing too loud, and if you can't hear my phrasing as a general, not that I'm leading anything really, but as a general." Form of how the music is shaped. If you can't hear the lead players, you're playing too loud, and you're not going to get that nuance that you could be getting.
Okay, so a lot of responsibility on the individual players to become part of the gears and make the machine work. I want to give an indication of the versatility of the Timberline Express Big Band, and the only hint I'll give is that you do pay homage to the season. So let's roll a piece, and people can hear it form. Well, there it comes to the trombones. God rest you, Merry Gentlemen. Yeah. You guys have some fun, don't you?
Oh, we have a great time.
In this upcoming concert, we'll actually be doing quite a few tunes based around Christmas songs. It's kind of our holiday concert. So,
how big a vocal repertoire is it? I mean, you know, now that you have Jeffrey Lynn Carrington, you obviously want to make the best use of Jeffrey Lynn Carrington. She's got a great voice. So, what, have you got like 20% of your program now with vocals, 50%?
I wouldn't say that necessarily.
We're at 5 songs, I believe, for this upcoming concert, so I don't know how many songs
the
whole
concert
is.
Well, it's actually bigger. It's like closer to 30, because I think you're in on 5 on this concert, and I think we're doing something like 14 or 15 tunes total on the show.
Right.
And it'll keep growing, I think.
Yeah, and it is kind of a balance. I mean, and it's not that I wouldn't write vocal as a regular section in the band. I have done some of that, and I want to continue doing some of that. But I also need to give her a rest, and also it's a variety in the sound that people are hearing. Mm-hmm. I want her always to be a special part of what we are.
It's nice to not always have words as well. It's nice to leave the words out so people can.
And in fact, to your point, I think you made earlier in the show that sometimes I double her actually with the trombones or with a saxophone backup line or something, so that you'll hear that line as an instrumental line. And it doesn't necessarily musically, theoretically need a vocal to reinforce it in any way. It's just a different color, and it's a little more subtle color. Mm-hmm. I'll use voice like I sometimes use guitar or vibes in a piece.
A lot of the modern bands, I mean, they like I like to think of like Gordon Goodwin in L.A. is another modern composer who utilizes guitar as a section player. So he plays along, he might play along with a trombone section, he might play along with a saxophone section, but in offering a little bit more of what Marty was saying as far as texture goes, one of the first bands that I heard that really used that back in the day was Thad Jones, Mel Lewis, and Toshiko Akiyoshi. And they would use like soprano sax and muted trumpet. And not only muted trumpet, but harmon mute and cup mute and flute in this and trombone in this and the texture.
So lots of different sounds.
And the texture then becomes really, really broad and much different of a sound.
Timberline Express Big Band performs late November is the name of the concert. Sunday, November 24th, this Sunday at 7:30 at the First Presbyterian Church on Holly Street in Medford. I want to thank Martin Benke, Randy Shearer, and Jeffrey Lynn Carrington for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. Good to have you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
That'll do it for today's exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Have a great day.